everything is sexist, everything is racist, everything is homophobic, and you have to point it all out.
Anita Sarkeesian is back, and gamers all groan in unison. What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Smash JT. Some people that have been rejected by the game industry so hard just can't seem to find another walk of life. When they found success in one area for one short period of time, they can't help themselves but try to strike gold once again. And that's exactly what's transpiring right now with Anita Sarkeesian, who has opened up her website for, you guessed it, consultancy, doing exactly what Sweet Baby Inc. does and telling game companies exactly why they're wrong and why they're so offensive and how she can fix the games and implement changes to these game companies that are just awful, horrible developers that don't understand culture at all. And they need to take her into account, take her insight so that it can make their games, well, according to her, better by being more diverse, inclusive, and equitable for all? Do these words ring a bell? And just keep in mind that people that are going to be hiring this person for consultancy will be hiring someone who married themselves. Sounds like a totally sane and normal human being that a company should be trusting their million-dollar IPs to make sure the game doesn't flop. Hit that subscribe, give me a like, and check out SmashJT.com for the full article breaking down Anita Sarkeesian's inclusive video game design support services. And you can hire her to check out your games and make sure that you don't miss any blind spots, because she will make sure to invent problems that don't exist to justify her existence. Anita Sarkeesian, a grandmother in the original Gamergate, is a name that stirs up quite a bit of resentment across the gaming community these days. And of course, she couldn't help herself. She had to find a way to make a grand return. The insane asylum reject who married herself is now this time arming herself with a brand new consultancy business aimed at inclusive video game design support services. Shocker, I know. Somebody who is completely unhinged, insane, off their rocker, cannot tell you which end is up, is supposedly the same person that marries themselves, that game developers are going to be trusting for her opinions? But let's call it what it really is. Another attempt to warp the game industry by literally inventing problems that don't exist and pushing her agenda onto unsuspecting developers, all in the name of making a quick buck. Anita Sarkeesian is one of those people that would love to watch the entire video game industry burn as long as she finds a way to make a buck on the way down. If you've been following the game news over the past decade or so, you probably are already familiar with how Sarkeesian's involvement doesn't lead to anything positive for gamers in general. And what started out as some could have argued back then as a noble cause, you know, advocating for better representation of women in games, quickly spiraled into a divisive crusade. Gamers everywhere watched as their favorite games were dissected, analyzed, criticized, not for their gameplay or story, but for perceived problematic content that any gamer who actually cares about video games didn't even think twice about. But apparently, if you don't play video games, that can be pretty offensive to you. You know, the modern audience, the people that don't buy the games, the people that get offended at everything. Yeah, let's fix the game for them. This is the epicenter of the virus that has laid the groundwork for consultancy companies like Sweet Baby Inc. to flourish. And now she's back, ready to wreak more havoc. Sarkeesian's new consultancy promises to, quote unquote, help game developers by eliminating problematic dialogue and modernize historically problematic content and craft complex, authentic characters. What is historically problematic content, by the way? Because I've played video games my entire life, since I was in a diaper until present day. And never once have I picked up a game and been so offended that I'm like, Man, I hope this game gets changed and fixed for the future so that I play it again sometime and I'm not offended by it down the road. All it means at the end of the day is more censorship, more homogenization of stories, and more politically motivated content that ends up ruining any of the fun the game intended. Because controversy breeds dollar bills. If you can make a company feel like they'll be canceled if you refuse to participate with them, i.e. extortion, then the game company is going to say, okay, you know what? We will pay you. You can tell us that you advised us. We can tell the general public out there that we had some consultancy to make sure that everything was historically fixed and everything is not offensive, according to this one person that gets offended to everything. So you guys can trust us with this game because a consultancy firm worked on it. Sarkeesian's playbook is simple. Invent problems and then swoop in to fix them. She thrives on finding issues that are non-existent, creating a narrative that video games are riddled with sexism, racism, and other forms of oppression. Her website offers services like eliminating problematic player actions. And it's vague enough to sound like progress, but ultimately it translates into more restrictions on creative freedom. Games have been around for a long time before her help ever entered the picture. But don't let facts get in the way of a way to make money. Let's take Tim Schafer, for example, someone who I actually respected in the game industry, gave a glowing endorsement of Anita Sarkeesian's input for Psychonauts 2, showing just how deeply he was duped into believing her so-called insights were valuable in the first place. He goes on praising her for identifying blind spots that supposedly prevented the game from being harmful? Whatever that's supposed to mean? Like, it's Psychonauts. What the hell are we even doing here? It's a creative vision from an artist making a game. If you get offended by it, go play a different game. Like, the game industry is massive. Not every game needs to be for every person. And that's exactly what the problem with these consultancy firms is. They come in, homogenize everything and say, okay, has to be like this. Need to have the main character like this. Protagonist needs to look this certain way. Needs to talk this certain way. Needs to be like this. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, every single game that comes out of these companies feels exactly the same. Sarkeesian's talent for convincing developers that they're stepping into bear traps is nothing more than a strategy to insert unnecessary revisions based on fabricated or exaggerated social critiques. I don't want to speak for everyone, but at the same time, I think it's pretty safe to say on this one that we don't want someone like Anita Sarkeesian coming in and telling us that our favorite games are offensive. We want good stories, fun gameplay, and the ability to immerse ourselves in a world that isn't weighed down by political agendas or propaganda being pushed in everyone's face, shoved down your throat until you accept it, unless at the end of the day you decide not to, and then, oh god, you're a bigot. Sarkeesian's pitch is all about making games more inclusive, but the real question is, inclusive to whom? The majority of gamers that I talk to are perfectly happy with the diversity they see in today's games. Literally no one who actually plays games is asking for anything like this. Many popular games out there already feature strong female protagonists, complex characters of different races, and very inclusive storylines. But no, that's not enough for Sarkeesian because her consultancy business depends on people getting offended. So no matter how perfect your game is, if she doesn't find a reason to inject herself into the game, then she doesn't have a job. So obviously she's going to keep looking for problems and keep pedaling down this censorship road until the entire game industry is eroded into dust. And going through her website even more, seeing terms like holistic integration of diverse identities and removing problematic player actions sounds more like a checklist of things that alienate actual gamers rather than anything that would really genuinely improve the game in the first place. It's obvious that her focus is not on what makes games more fun or engaging. It's about checking boxes, making developers feel guilty for not being politically correct enough, and ultimately ruining the entire experience for the player. And gamers are rejecting this wholeheartedly. There has been a full turnaround in the game industry about this being rejected by the player bases, saying we don't want games that have been touched by any of these DEI firms. And now many of the game companies are in a rock and a hard place where they're like, oh man, we contracted with them and they started working on it, but now we see how gamers are rejecting it and we don't want to be canceled because we are working on them now, but we thought we were doing the right thing. but we're not making money when we work with them. It's just a very weird catch-22 that they've put themselves in, and they have no one to blame but themselves, because at the end of the day, they were doing this thinking it would get them more money instead of following the passion of creating a great game. But who's even buying into this? Sarkeesian claims to have worked with clients ranging from AAA to indie devs. She's positioned herself as the go-to voice for modernizing games, you know, for that non-existent modern audience. But if history is any indication, the developers who take her advice only end up alienating their own player base. So at the end of the day, they've been warned. If you start to work with someone like this and your game gets completely rejected by gamers before it even comes out, don't be surprised. At the end of the day, Anita Sarkeesian's return to the game industry is not about helping developers. It never has been. It's always been about continuing her mission to shape a narrative, to convince the world that the gaming industry is in dire need of reform. The truth is, games don't need Sarkeesian's brand of fixing. Gamers don't want someone telling them that their favorite games that they're playing are problematic. No, gamers want a great, immersive game experience that challenges new ideas and pushes games further into a better place, not adding restrictions and censoring them to dull them down and make them not worth playing. Because honestly, there are so many great games out there worth playing right now that if you start doing this to the games that are good, people are just going to move on to the other games that are better options for them. And from what I've seen, it's already happening. Anyways, I'm going to leave it there. If you guys want more information, check out smashjt.com for the full exhaustive article. If you appreciate what I'm doing, please consider hitting that join button. Thank you so much for watching. And as always, you stay smashing.
These days, it could take up to 8 people to make a single piece of armor.
Oh! How many gamer gators does it take to make a single piece of armor?
Oh, God, I don't know.
50. One to do the modeling, one to do the materials, and 40 to tweet that it's not your shield.
Okay. Again, I cannot be blamed for what the puppet says.
What am I doing?
And yes, that is cheesy saxophone music playing to make sure it's crystal clear that she is now an object of desire, even while in suspended animation. To add insult to injury, Fox is now using her magical staff to fight his way through the game to save her. The tale of how Crystal went from protagonist of her own epic adventure to the passive victim in someone else's game illustrates how the damsel in distress trope disempowers female characters and robs them of the chance to be heroes in their own right.